News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Sean. FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. We've got that text line. Been very active with the guesses for the weekend weather scale. Before Dr. Bill gave out those numbers at 7:30 this morning. And that text line 251-343-0106. Among the most kind-hearted of our texters is Sheila, who says, good morning, Dan and Sean. Have enjoyed you subbing in for Dalton this week. I hope they've had a great time at Disney. We haven't heard from him, so we don't know. That's a good
thing. Yes, I'm trying to, you know, I communicate a little bit about, but I'm trying to minimize. You're on vacation. I try to minimize any kind of work, you know, work question.
Well, and I haven't seen anything posted on social media.
You're not looking at the right. Yeah, there's been some updates.
Stuff there. Okay. And I know he'll have some good stories when he gets back. She says, I know the girls have had a great time down there. Have a blessed weekend, you too.
Sheila's great people. Sheila, she's a sweet person.
Nice as she can be. Don wanted to know if Dwight Yoakam had any new music he broke out last night, or was it just the old stuff?
Yeah, D-White had a couple new ones. One of them I really like. Don't remember the name of it at this point, but I won't be searching for it. Yeah, it was because he told a pretty funny story, too. He'd been doing it as long as Dwight Yoakam did. But let me say this, too. Drayton Farley, who opened the opener, he's out of Birmingham, singer-songwriter. He was fantastic. The Mavericks brought the house down. They're so very good.
Yeah.
It was a really good show. And then, yeah, of course, the reason I was there, but the other shows I liked, but I mean, I was there to see Dwight. And but I'm now a fan of this Drayton Farley kid out of Birmingham. But the
that's what's cool about going to a show really, like that. Now you're a fan of a new musician.
Yeah, I went through this arc here, by the way. So when I was young, going to concerts, you know, we wanted to be there forever because, I mean, we're young. And so we were there for the opening act, the, you know, whatever. We're there for sound check, man, if they would let us, and then watch the show and all that. Then you get a little older and you get too cool for your boots, right? Yeah. I'm only going for the opener, man. Then I get in the music business, rock radio for a couple decades, for a decade and a half before I got into talk. And then you get to where it's work and you're there for them, but you see tons of shows and do all these interviews, but it's a work thing. And then I've come in my later years now where I like to go for the opening. I'm back to being 15. I'm going to go. If I'm going, well, darn it, we're going early, and we'll get the popcorn and the hot dog, and I'm going to enjoy the whole dang thing.
Good for you.
You know,
good
so
you.
I've made that arc. But so Dwight tells a story last night about new music. You know, he realizes, I'm going to play something new, and I realize this is when everybody wants to get up and walk off. And he said, I get it, because I did the same thing. He's a student at the at Ohio, okay?
University of Ohio?
Yeah, whatever they call it.
Okay.
They're so, what do you call it? Have to call it the Ohio State?
Oh, Ohio State, yeah. The Ohio State.
Yeah. Pretentious.
Well, they won it all last year.
Says the Bama fan and graduate. So he's at school there. And picture this. You got Dwight Yoakam, who comes to town other than the band that you and I talked about earlier this week and you and I were texting back and forth about.
Wait.
Mm-hmm.
He's in college. This band comes to town?
Uh-huh.
And we were discussing them earlier this week? Good. So he was in college.
This band formed where my daughter now goes to college.
Oh, my God. Steely Dan.
Steely Dan comes to town. So Dwight Yoakam goes to see Steely Dan. Okay.
You're
picture
so
this. He's in the audience watching.
Yeah.
And he said they, you know, played a couple songs. He knew the hits, and he was talking about how much he liked them. And he said, then they said, okay, we're gonna play something new. He's like, oh, so he's like, the last thing I want to do is hear a new song. And he said, then they played the song that was called Ricky, Don't Lose That Number.
Mm-hmm.
He said that was the new song.
Worth hanging around for.
Yeah, he said worth. Yeah, and he said, so hey, give me a little grace here. I'll play you a new one. And it was a great song. So that was kind of cool. To picture you have a venue where you have Becker and Fagan, Steely Dan, that in the audience got Dwight Yoakam watching Steely Dan. It's a pretty cool story. That he was like, he was not happy when he said, they said, here's something new. And Dwight Yoakam said, I was ready to go get a beer or something like that. He said, but I stuck around and happened to be a song called Ricky Don't Lose That Number.
You know, where is the bad Steely Dan song?
There's not.
Man, gosh. You know,
I used to announce, if I play a cut off the album from Asia,
yeah,
I'd say... from Steely Dan's Asia, also known as their greatest hits album, mm-hmm. you know, because it was
a
perfect album.
That was one of those albums. So when in 1977, this was my historic move from New Jersey to Athens, Georgia. And you would go to these parties, and if you were somehow cool enough to get invited to some of them, Fleetwood Mac, everywhere.
What?
Asia, everywhere. Asia, the albums who were here at a given party.
Pretty strong.
Yes. Yeah, you knew what they were. And they and that's where I would meet people like Knox Ross.
Yeah, with the rest of the KAs.
Yes. Asking me to please leave their property.
he did play. So to answer Don's question, he played a couple new songs, but it was a good show last night.
What was the crowd like?
It was not. So the upper bowl? Yeah, down low, and we got pretty darn good seats.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I, you know, even with my glasses, I need to be closer to see everything. That was all full, but as you went up to the bleacher area, maybe a third.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know what's a normal expectation down there, but I thought it could have been better attended, but all of us that were down there were having a big time.
So. Yeah, and the Mavericks really got them going, huh?
They're so good.
So Dwight Yoakam also, Sean, he's got two careers in a way. He's also an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to give a guess?
Oh, yeah, he told a Billy Bob Thornton story about Billy Bob on the tour bus coming through here.
Is it repeatable?
No. Yeah, we'll leave it for the break, but yeah.
So how many movies do you think, Dwight? And a lot of these movies, I guess, just kind of, he's not a
guy. I don't know how many kids, because, you know, I've listened to a lot more music than I've seen movies.
Yeah.
If people, the audience said, no, the running joke around here is how few movies and shows I've ever seen. But Sling Blade, I've seen about 16 times.
Well,
so.
Sling Blade was amazing for me because my best friend, one of my best lifelong friends in my life, was a guy that named Speedy, who I had on the radio in Athens and Macon and Columbus. He made the rounds with me because he was that entertaining. He was a bricklayer from Madison County, which was above Athens.
Sure.
And talk just like this, and that's the way he talked. If you didn't like it, that's the hell with you. So Speedy would talk like, when that movie came out, every member of my family was calling me up saying, what is going on?
Is this Speedy Carl Childers?
Is Speedy, you know? I said,
did you ever get him to say French fried potatoes or anything like that?
I would never abuse Speedy.
You didn't ask him to say Kaiser Blade at any point?
No, because he was Speedy. That guy, I thought he was secondary to Speedy. Speedy was like a star in Georgia on our radio shows. He called one time. True story, there was a viaduct opening in Columbus, Georgia.
Was it a big enough deal in Columbus that there's like a grand opening of the viaduct?
Yes, there was a cutting of some sort.
I started radio in Tuscaloosa. I get it. I had to go to viaduct openings and things like that.
Speedy called the radio station and said he proposed that he was living in Pine Mountain, which was a rural area.
Pine Mountain, Georgia.
And he also he recruited for the University of Georgia. He would say,
okay,
only in the greater Nankypoo area. So he recruited, but only one part
very
of town.
Very specific.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, he didn't want to get stressed out. He called and he said, "Then they're having that, viaduct or the grand open." Yeah, and it's all the talk in Pine Mountain, Danny. It's all the talk in Pine Mountain. I said, "Yeah, Speedy, it's a big deal here."
You reckon the mayor's going to be there?
Yeah, I would think so. Probably
they're going to cut that ribbon and all.
Do you think possibly there was some that somebody stole Speedy's cadence and voice?
I don't know how
to make Carl Childers.
So, Speedy himself, I would say to his people that were his kin.
Yeah.
Like, how did this happen?
That's what I'm saying.
He's always sounded like that.
That's what I'm saying. Did somebody hear him?
Well, that's what I wonder.
And
to create that character.
Like, you know, you hear these lawsuits for songs that people release a song and they go back and show that it was, you know, half the time they're ripping off Marvin Gaye, and they go back. So maybe there would have been a lawsuit there.
But that was something that my brother Tom asked. He said, do you think that Billy Bob, somewhere along the line, heard you on the radio, heard Speedy? I said, I don't know. But to the end of the viaduct story, Speedy's talking about how big the viaduct is in Pine Mountain, and he says at the end,
I got one question, Danny.
Yes, sir.
What is a viaduct?
So he knew he needed to assign excitement to the viaduct.
Sure.
But he had no idea what it was.
Well, excitement.
And that was how Speedy, that was his humor.
It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, he was good. He was really good. So anyway, Dwight Yoakam has been in, looks like, I may have miscounted here a little bit, about 23 movies.
Wow.
Yeah, that's more than I would have guessed.
And I was going to say like six.
Yeah. Right, so you might remember six, about 23 movies. And if there's, on the text line, 251-343-0106, if there's anything that you remember Dwight Yoakam being in, any movie, or if you were at the show last night, let us know what you thought about that.
And this is interesting, too, from the text line here, which you can text us at 343-0106. Rock and Roll Doctor said, had Mobiles, because this is a conversation we had on Midday this week about the rollout. This started, I guess, last week with the discussion of the rollout of the new arena. Then Councilman Ben Reynolds was on the show with me to talk about that. And the reason OVG thinks they can be successful, because I'm a cheerleader for my town.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. But I'm also a person that tries to make sure we're being realistic about what we spend and this and that.
What do you say?
And so he said, you know, things that made me feel better about this, that OVG has a dog in the hunt money-wise. In other words, they make money when we make money. Yeah, and so that's how the world makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Incentives like that. So, like, you don't just get paid to exist. You do something and you get a good cut of the action. That's fine.
And
that
then you're motivated to bring in the right shows.
And he said, so that's their motivation, and they're really good at this. Because I said, what makes us think, because I was trying to play devil's advocate to some degree, what makes us think that Mobile is going to undo what's been this habit as people go elsewhere?
Yeah.
One thing, where I was last night, the Wharf, he said, they're not going to compete. This was interesting. OVG said, hey, we don't compete against those. He said, when tours go out, they'll have outside tours and inside tours. He said, so we're not going to be competing with shows that would go to the Wharf.
Interesting.
So there's certain, now different tours, that same artist may have an outside tour one year, inside tour the next year, because I guess their sets and all that stuff are built for inside or outside.
Yeah,
so OVG said that they're not competing directly with the Wharf. And then, you know, so, well, what about Mississippi Coast Coliseum? What about Pensacola? And he pointed out that, well, we will be the new, when this 2027, if it opens, will be the newest venue, cleanest, newest, up to date, and have an advantage there. But OVG, who has this money incentive, something that makes sense to me, is told them, we believe we can put the shows in here. He said, we don't have to attract people to the venue. We have to attract the artist. And OVG said they can track, right? And it makes sense. You don't have to beg people to come to your venue. You have to get people there that they want to go see, and then they come to your venue.
Yeah.
And OVG said they believe they can do that, and they can put the artist in there that'll bring them in. So Rock and Roll Doctor
said,
the text line said, had Mobile's entertainment facility been built prior to yesterday, would D. White, he says it the way I do too, have played at the Wharf or in Mobile? Only upside with Mobile is the air conditioning. Well, Rock and Roll Doctor, from what I learned from that conversation earlier this week on the show, and you can go back and check out the podcast, is that it wouldn't have been a competition, because this tour right now for the Mavericks and Dwight Yoakam is an outside venue tour. And so there wouldn't have been a direct competition. Now, I'm just parroting what OVG has said through Councilman Ben Reynolds, so I'm not claiming to be an expert in this. So we wouldn't have been competing for that show. That one would have gone to the Wharf. If there was another show they were doing that was an inside concert series, you might be competing with Mississippi Coast Coliseum or Pensacola. But if we're the newest venue, then we probably have the upper hand in that.
That's
so it's interesting just to think about it, because it's easy just to dismiss this.
Yeah.
And Lord knows, anybody listen to me over time, I can be real cynical. But there's sometimes you need to put a little new information in with your cynicism and go, maybe there's something I'm missing here. And I hope, believe me, I want the best for our city.
Yeah, and Mobile doesn't have the best track record of turning out, turning out to South basketball games or to the Bay Bears, who eventually they just took their bats and balls and went to the north end of the state.
Right.
But when you have a show,
my theory on that,
yeah,
is because there's so much to do here. And watching the people I worked with in radio that weren't from here that came through and would say, yeah, there's nothing to do in town, Sean. And I'd look at them, slack-jawed. But they said, there's nothing to do. I said, y'all look around you, all the things outside. But to them, they had been, grew up in places in music business where it was all based on going to these bars or these venues. And I was like, well, we do all kind of stuff. We're an event city, but you know, we might go to the big show, but next weekend we're just going to go down to Dolphin Island.
Yeah.
Or we're just going to, you know, we're doing something. It's not so based on those shows. So, yeah, but I think the city's grown. And you bring a show in to somewhere like Mobile, you're going to draw from, like the old days before things got messed up down there, you're going to draw from, you know, past Christian to Navarre for people to come to a show.
And the other thing that you mentioned about OVG is that's short for the
View Group like that. It's the people that are doing the management of the, and they put $15 million of their own dollars in this as well.
So. I think that's a bit, you know, that's, I didn't realize that. I kind of realized that with all those numbers that came out. But to think that you have this highly professional group that's got stake in all of this.
That's the part that makes me feel somewhat better.
Me too.
And I'm not saying it's perfect, but it makes sense to me versus I'm going to pay you just to sit there, you know.
We'll happily give you your cut if good things are happening.
But you got to hustle and bring it.
You got to hustle. And it sounds like that's what they do.
That's what's planned.
All right. You lifted me, my spirits.
There we go.
822 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Dan and Sean, 251-343-0106. Turning up your voice. To be part of the show, you can certainly call 251-343-0106. Also got this app. Your voice can end up on our radio from the app as well.
Mm-hmm, yeah, so the TalkBack feature there on the FM Talk 106.5 app, which is free and waiting for you. If you're an iPhone user, go to the App Store. Android users, go to Google Play. Both places, look for FM TALK. Number 1, number 0, number 6, number 5. No point between the 6 and 5.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You'll see our logo. That's our app. It's free. Download it. You can stream the station on there. You can get our podcast post there first, plus show schedules, all kind of information about the station on there. And you can text us from the app. You can call us from the app. And you can also leave a talkback message. You'll see a microphone icon right there on the front page. You press that, record your voice, and then sends it to the station here. We can play it back on the air.
Chris in Orange Beach says, I wish I'd known Yoakum was at the wharf last night. I had no clue. You can blame that on the promoter, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Here we are, FM Talk 106.5, with a lot of people who love music. They listen to the news with us, but they're music fans too. You can tell that from just reading the text line. I mean, we may have given away tickets right before they went on sale. Some of those at the wharf.
Not to this one.
Not to that one? Okay.
No, because I would have... You know, I'd have said, hey, I'm caller number 6. and by the way, good. I'm not the only one. This unnamed texter said, hey, guys, I can remember going to a concert and throwing a Frisbee for 30 or 45 minutes before the first event even started. So, yeah, I'm back to going and soaking up the whole thing.
I love that. This texter, I think it's Matt, said, saw Dwight and Mavericks in T-Town at the amphitheater back in October. Stellar performance by both. But the Mavericks, he was really impressed with the Mavericks, as you were last night.
Yeah, his voice is fantastic, and he mentions the cancer. He has stage 4 lymphoma, the lead singer of the Mavericks.
Man.
And he's been fighting it, and he's still up there smiling, putting on a great show.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I think it was.
That band is tight. 8-piece band, and they're
amazing.
They're tighter than Dick's Hat Band. I mean,
the Mavericks, well, how about this? This was, again, I'm just throwing out a year here. It was 20, let's see, it's 2025 now? Good. Okay, so I would say maybe 25 years ago, at the Sanger, the Mavericks... And I forget who was the bigger act at the time. I think they were the big act at the time. The lead act was the Zac Brown Band.
I'll be darned.
So you had two very just great musicians in both those bands at the Sanger Theater downtown. So,
cool.
You know, on the text line, shows that you've seen and that you've enjoyed for sure, 251-343-0106. Getting near the bottom of the hour here.
Yeah. The discussion that, you know, the side discussion we're having about 2027 and the proposed finishing of the Mobile Arena, which I think will probably be named something else. That's another thing they said in the conversation I had with Councilman Ben Reynolds. He said they are also, they can get commission for getting sponsorships, like naming and all that kind
like
of
Oakview's
stuff.
Like Oakview's good at that stuff.
Yeah. So that they got a dog in that hunt. So that makes sense to me as well. So I hope it gets done quickly. 2027 is supposed to be rolling for Mardi Gras in 2027. Cause yeah, you know, we talk about music shows. We talk about hockey.
Yeah.
But we need a place for Mardi Gras balls.
We do. It's 8:29. Well, 8:30 now. News time, and Sean and I back with you right after the break. Sean is a pro. Concert by night. Morning show early the next morning by day. Appreciate that a lot, man.
Listen, I trained for that over decades, and still have it.
You did. I would be on the football field or at a football field with Cox. He would be on with you in the afternoon at sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So you were on at 5 to 6.
Oh, yeah.
So you're on 3 times a day.
Yeah, when the early days of the station, yeah.
Okay.
Morning show, midday show, afternoon show. Because I was the only, and I couldn't even afford myself, but that was the only, yeah, it's like, well, I got to have a salary, and so.
Pretty good. he's basically trying to slough it off like it ain't nothing, but I know that that was a lot after last night, but a lot of texts on the text line about the concert and about Dwight Yoakam, too. So yesterday we had, let's see, there were two things that we were talking about that now we're going to be reinvestigated. What was that now? Why is that slipping my mind? That things that, oh, the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. Leak. Oh, yeah, we talked about that on Tuesday. Here's the thing. They'll say they're reopening and looking into it, but I don't. It's enough time passed. What we're talking about, y'all, is when the leak of the Dobbs decision came out, and I've really focused on that one since then. I think that's. It's not even just that it made a difference for Democrat turnout in that midterm, right?
Yeah, it did.
It made a big difference. But that's just the politics of it. The bigger story and the worry to me is what that is for the judicial branch at the top there for SCOTUS operates, whether you like decisions or not, the fact that they don't have to run for election, it keeps general politics. I know politics appoints the people into the position, but once they're there, because you're talking about John Roberts wasn't exactly conservative on the
on this issue,
whatever. Yeah. And sometimes you see liberal justices side with the conservatives because they don't have to go fundraise or get reelected or there's some genius in that from our founders. But when you have a decision leak out beforehand, it can influence. If those justices start getting political pushback on something that they can still change, right? It undoes that. That takes that sanctity is a tough word, but that judicial branch it shouldn't be affected by the outside. It should be all about the Constitution, the rule of law,
mm-hmm.
and then you start getting opinion being a player to influence it. So the fact that it was leaked. And then back then they said, oh, yeah, we're going to get on this and look for it. They didn't do crap.
No.
You're telling me that I can watch, the dust behind the Mars rover, right?
Yeah.
Or we can investigate things, using AI and all the technology. You can't figure out who leaked the Dobbs decision before it came out?
Ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And here we sit all this time later and still nothing?
We can build a bayway in 20, 25 years.
Yeah, I mean, imagine that.
So also the other one that came out, I got it. You were like saying, yeah, they're both intriguing stories, but one not nearly as relevant as the other one. Well, in terms of how important it would be.
The cocaine in the White House.
Yeah, I'd kind of like to know who's there.
Well, I would kind of like to know, too. It's not that I'm dismissing that one, and I know, what Quinn Hillier said is not Hunter Biden.
Yeah,
and so that's interesting, but it's somebody in the inner circle.
Yep.
That's all very interesting, but that doesn't, so it's not that I want that investigated, but that somebody in the inner circle having cocaine in the White House does not patently change the way our republic works.
No.
Okay? It's interesting because it's cover up and all that kind of stuff, and that's very important. But this leak and no follow through on the SCOTUS decision, that dismantles the way our founders set this thing up. I look at some stories sometimes and say, it's not about the individual players in this story or whatever happened. It's what does this mean to what the United States of America is by the founders, and how much will this thing, whatever it is, change that? Like if the founders came back and they looked at the way government was operating, would they say, y'all got off the baseline here, you know, you're way off the baseline, or would they say, yeah, you're close to what we thought it would be? I think they're going to say you're off the baseline.
I would too. And
there are these little cuts and things that happen over time that move that.
You're right. And it's, they're almost unnoticeable. Now we're the debt is where it is. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
The other thing too, considering America's standing in the world, when you fundamentally change America, you're doing a number on the entire world, because America has a place in the world where we need to be at our best and closer to the where the founding fathers devised us back in the day. Now, here's another one I forgot all about, but it's back in the news. This is Bongino yesterday.
Is this a clip I play about the Epstein?
I don't know. This is about the investigation into the pipe bombs planted in Washington, D.C. on the eve of January 6th.
Okay.
So with that story?
I do remember it, yeah.
But it's almost like we've been given no reason to remember it, because it just vanished.
Uh-huh.
Because it did not play into certain parties' narrative, right? So if you forgot about that, I don't blame you. One top official now suggesting that after 4 years, the Bureau is getting close to a major break in the case. I want answers on this, and I'm pretty confident that we're closing in on some suspects. Dan Bongino, who's the deputy FBI director, the FBI renewed its focus on the unsolved case earlier this year. The facts, even they escape me, even though I know basically what happened here and how it got swept away. But this is a day before what happened on January 6th, and there's some guy dropping a pipe bomb near one of the headquarters of either Republicans or Democrats, right?
Mm-hmm.
So investigators released new video footage showing the person who planted the bomb outside the headquarters of both the Democratic National Committee and the Republican National Committee in D.C. Bongino criticized what he described as a lack of attention to the case. Yeah, no blanking kidding. During the Biden administration, and Sean and I talking about this, we could just go over and over a lot of these things that almost like in a Vegas magic act just disappeared. Of course, January 6th, you had over 1,000 people who were arrested and convicted. So you also have investigations into how all of this played together on the security, on the lack of security at the Capitol that day. People were in the wrong for sure, but at the same time, you start to wonder what happened.
Yeah,
exactly,
and
what happened that day.
Well, and it's also, I mean, I've said this over time, when you have October surprises come out in politics and make accusations,
and they don't have to prove it.
I'm going to say, if you're going to come out and say that so-and-so did whatever, then I want the Justice Department, then the Justice Department says, okay, we're going to investigate this, and if you're wrong, we're going to, you know, take you to task as well. Because things just absolutely
vanish.
News cycle goes by, and people aren't paying attention. And there's some of them, I do think, I rank them. Some are more important than others. And to things that will substantively change the way the Republic works, those are the ones that worry me the most. Not that the other ones aren't. I mean, the Bongino clip I played yesterday, it's weird. I mean, for a guy that is not his biggest fan, I've been doing nothing but defending the guy all week, but not in his position with the FBI, but from his radio days. He did this thing about the Epstein deal, and he said the video's coming out, and he said he's watched it. They're doing an enhanced, clarified video, but they're going to show you the original and the clarified. And he's sitting there, and he said, listen, if you have information I don't have, please get it to me. But he said, I've watched, there was one camera working.
Uh-huh.
And he said, nobody went in there, and nobody came out of that cell. He said, we're going to release the information. So here's Dan Bongino saying he's going to release the information. People are big fans of his, you know, a conservative guy. And he's saying in this case, this thing that we all, I mean, it's part of the American vernacular now, somebody Epsteining themselves, right? They're going to get Epstein. Well, he says he watched the video, and they're going to release it sometime very shortly.
So what's in the
video? He said, you don't see anybody. He said, nobody, it's not, it doesn't show him.
So you don't see the act.
No, but it's on the cell, and he said he watched it. So this is the guy who would like to release, you know, the information. He said, I'm just telling you. So unless you think, and now, of course, online people are like, they got to him. They've gotten a bunch of, I don't think they got to him. He said he sat and watched it. The FBI, I mean, Cash Patel's on with this. They've watched the video. There's like, nobody comes in, nobody comes out. And it seems like people, when I did this yesterday on the text line, they were like, no way. This is unbelievable. You know, I'm just telling you, I played the clip. It's just, you know, you can disagree with him. But he said they sat down and watched it, and they are going to release the video. And they said there's just, in the time period, they're watching that camera, and nobody comes in, nobody comes out. And he says, if you have information to show me differently, please contact us with the FBI. Please give us all the information you got. He said, but we've gotten every source, and this, and he said, nobody comes in or comes out.
So what happened?
I don't know.
Among the most convenient deaths for
100%.
So many high-profile Americans, I would guess, could have been swept up into this thing. Among the most convenient deaths you could ever conjure up, and so there's no video of the act. But at the same time, he's saying there was absolutely nobody.
He said they've watched it. I mean, there's nobody comes in, nobody comes out. So, yeah, and the convenient thing, I mean, let me turn things around and play devil's advocate on this.
Okay.
Is, you know, if somebody had a, if I wanted to get somebody room temperature, okay, but right. I didn't want to go to jail for it.
Right.
I'd find somebody who had a bigger beef with them and a flare-up beef with them. And make sure they didn't have a solid alibi at the time, and then kill that other person. Because it's going to look like the person who had the latest beef with them would be the person that did it.
Yeah.
Not the person maybe had a beef from 20 years ago.
I got it.
So you're going to be focused on
the shiny thing, right?
Yeah. Because it seems obvious. This is the person who said, I will. So then you're focused on the wrong guy because that's the latest thing in somebody's mind. Now, I'm not saying that's for Epstein, but I'm saying you would think he's going to get killed because the people he could implicate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But maybe in this case, I didn't watch the video. I don't, you know, I'm just sitting back going, maybe look a different opinion that it seems so obvious that he was killed because of the people that he could really mess up their world.
Yeah.
But maybe just to be, now I'm going to be contrarian. What used to be the contrarian opinion is that Epstein was killed and didn't kill himself. So let me be reverse contrarian and say he killed himself, but it seems like somebody should have had him killed, so everybody wants to think that he was murdered. I can play the game all the different ways.
I think some of the reaction to Bongino is because now America, it's been kind of cemented in our mind, like, oh, everybody rolls their eyes, like, oh,
yeah.
We all know what happened. Back to this this pipe bomb thing. Video footage in January, the FBI also released more details about the suspect's physical characteristics. It's the guy that laid the pipe bombs at both the Democratic and Republican headquarters the night before January 6th. Like, what? It's about 5'7", may have worn a gray hoodie, face mask, black gloves. Investigators claim they've followed hundreds of leads, reviewed thousands of video files, and conducted over 1,000 interviews in the case. Bongino emphasized the importance of public involvement and said social media is a vital tool for generating new case leads. I don't want to say, so he's saying that every time I put a tweet out, we get tips. We got a fascinating tip on one of these cases. One of the three, Bongino said, referring to the three high-profile cases, 2021 pipe bombs, 2022 leak of the Supreme Court, and 2023 the cocaine in the White House. I don't want to say which one, but I'm pretty confident that we're going to close out one of them hopefully soon. So
okay.
This is a little bit like the Amtrak thing where they're giving us hope that the answers are forthcoming.
It's just like, when they were going to release all the, you know, when they released the flight manifest, like it was okay, it's names we'd already heard, and
yeah.
Other stuff was redacted. I mean, they did it, but we released the Kennedy information. People got the files, and have you heard anything?
No,
that's the thing that you know, if then, but at the same time, then people go, well, then they're lying too. I don't, you know.
The other thing about the cocaine, Sean, is why it does mean a lot, I think, or could mean more, is the cabal around.
It's a cover up. It's not.
Well, it's a cover up.
There's probably been plenty of cocaine in the White House, unfortunately.
But also the
Taft. Taft was like Scarface.
Well, it
Zachary Taylor.
It didn't slim him up any.
No, it did not.
So, but you have this group of people that were, if Biden was out of it as much as now being reported, he wasn't doing the cocaine, and it wouldn't have mattered much because. But if it's in a small circle of people, the small circle of people were running this country at that time.
Yeah, and
for how many years? I don't know.
Well, and this is the same thing that I said about the reporter from the Atlantic or whatever being put on that group chat.
Yeah,
right.
Goldberg.
Goldberg being put in on the group chat. It's sloppy. Because everybody focused on the Signal thing. Signal's fine. It's sloppy to not double-check who's in your contact list before you send out a group text, okay? It's also, on this cocaine thing, if they're doing that they're so bad at, did they leave it there in a cubby? Like, that's the stuff, like, what kind of Apple Dumpling Gang do we have running things there? So that's
Yeah, incompetence.
Yeah.
And cover-up. And these kind of usually go hand in hand because incompetence leads to things you need to cover up.
Yeah, and instead of just saying, hey, so-and-so was incompetent, instead of covering things up. But that's not how government works.
It is 850 FM Talk 106.5. Text line 251-343-0106. We'll also preview the Jeff Poore Show coming up. Dan and Sean in for Dalton. He's back on Monday. And Monday's the first day that Dr. Bill will, I guess, wholeheartedly be considering any tropical storm.
Yeah, that's where he and you know, tropical weather, he suits up in a piff helmet and some khaki safari clothes.
Yeah, different outfit, different season of the year. Jeff Poore Show on the way. Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News. Also, that'll be about 9:35. Breitbart News, Bradley J. He is a South Alabama guy, but he's with Breitbart. And he'll be about 10:35. And then State Senator Chris Elliott from Baldwin County. Oh, Jeff says the most downloaded portion of his week is interview with Chris Elliott.
We'll go to the text line here at 343-0106. Billy D. says, remember that everybody was outside the justice's house protesting, and that was a huge no-no, yet nothing was done to stop it.
Yeah.
That's the kind of, to me, that kind of stuff is the...
Yeah.
It's not even because it's Democrat.
One way or the other.
Right.
It's disturbing.
I'm a fanboy of the Constitution, mm-hmm. not of other humans, mm-hmm. you know, not of cults of personality. My cult of personality is Constitution and this republic that was founded. I mean, I'm that kind of... nerd.
Yeah.
Is what
and,
I think
and,
is those things are so important to me. The
and,
beauty
and,
of
and they
it.
Should be. They should be.
Now, on the text line here, also, Jason says, well, isn't Hillary a shapeshifter? It is possible, Jason. So she could have done or been like the Wonder Twins. One of them could be like a cloud of steam or something and go in and then reform into it. So, yes, somehow somebody could have gotten by the camera. I'm just telling you what Bongino said, okay? Mm-hmm. Summerdale Tony said, well, it could be creative video editing. Maybe. Mike says,
trusting the video.
Good thinking, Sean. Maybe he's agreeing with my counter contrarian view that now maybe what you do is say he did kill himself because now the contrarian view would be that he was murdered.
Right.
And now if it comes out, then the counter contrarian view would be no, he killed himself. So, I mean, to be even more difficult, that's what I'll go with. Will says, Sean is definitely on a list now with that opinion. Well, yes. Will, I am on, I'm sure, on multiple lists. I hope I'm on. If I'm doing my job correctly, I should be on many lists. Let's see. Now, this is interesting. Josh says Epstein was allowed to kill himself. Now, there's something that's like, say, if you don't do this, X, Y, and Z will happen or something like that, you know? That there's a theory. I don't purport to know what happened. I'm just telling you that it was just interesting to hear Bongino say, I've seen the video, we're going to release a video, and y'all, Nobody came and went.
Did Epstein was so shamed in all this? Did he want to kill himself more than other people wanted to kill him?
Dude, I don't know. I mean, I just throw the question out there. Yeah, I'm just
like, what was his state of mind?
Well, I mean, to do the things he did, probably not exactly solid to be a dirtbag like that.
It is. Okay, here we go. We said Jeff Poor Show's on the way. It is next. Dan and Sean, see you on Monday with Dalton Orwig. Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings.